God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 22. Paul writes, "Are we trying to provoke the Lord to jealousy? We're not stronger than he is, are we?" This is Paul's own answer to asking whether someone who can drink the cup of the Lord can also go and drink the cup of demons. Wouldn't that only provoke the Lord to jealousy, rage, fury, and an upraised hand about to strike the offending sinner? And why would anyone ever want to provoke God to jealousy, wrath, or anger? He's the Creator. He is the Almighty. To provoke Him is only to invite the most horrible punishment. For things of this world can cause death, but only God Himself can inflict a punishment worse than death. So there is no reason to want to provoke Almighty God to anger, but sinful man does it constantly and continuously with his sins. This is what the Corinthians were doing, and Paul's trying to show them this, and we're going to return to that point below, but consider this too. God has expressed his judgment, his condemning power at various times in world history. This is primarily punishment for sin, but sometimes it is also to preserve his people and to bring a swift end to certain terrible sins. Now, this includes his judgment first on Satan and the demons after their rebellion in heaven as punishment for their sin and because they didn't keep their position. For God did not spare angels, Peter says, when they sinned, but handed them over to chains of darkness by casting them into hell to be kept under guard for judgment. That's 2 Peter 2:4. Also, God's judgment was on Adam and Eve after their first rebellion when they brought death and suffering to mankind and on the whole creation in Genesis 3. Now later they repented and were saved, but that's a lot of punishment. Thirdly, God judges the whole world, or did once, by water in the flood in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 because mankind had become so wicked that the Lord actually grieved that he had made man. Also, since the fall, God punishes individuals or groups in order to expose their sins and even to bring an end to certain sins, as with Sodom and Gomorrah, and to be an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. While God also allows trouble and even suffering and death to come to his own people, this is not a punishment but a testing, always accompanied by the gospel to lead them to repentance. There's passages by that in Isaiah 30 and Jeremiah 31:19. Fifthly, God also punishes enemies of his people in order to preserve the church. This is illustrated again and again in the prophets, which signs like the upraised hand of God about to strike in many verses in Isaiah. For example, when his people reject his word, when enemies oppress his people, when false teachers mislead his people, when those who oppose him suffer in life but not yet in eternity, and when leaders fail their people with injustice and think that no consequences will follow them. Sixth, on the last day, God will send the wicked angels and the devil and all unbelievers to hell. Jesus says, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." That's John 3:18. We see that in all these cases, the punishment is on unbelievers. Now, Adam and Eve were brought back into God's family and brought back to faith through repentance. And with those first parents, their punishment came to all people and to all of creation. And, you know, this is the world into which the Creator himself, Christ Jesus, entered in order to repair what was ruined, and, as Amos says, and build it as it used to be. Having remembered the power of God and the thorough destruction that awaits those who oppose him and reject him, we return to Paul's point in this passage in bringing all this up to the Corinthians. Don't they remember who God is? Do they really think that they're in some way, in any way, stronger than he is? Could they possibly be physically stronger, mentally stronger, morally stronger? Those things are impossible. And as Paul has already said in chapter 2, For who has known the mind of the Lord, who will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Or might the Corinthians be mocking such concepts that God would have jealousy or rage, or that God could possibly become angry, or, and maybe this is the point, that God could even possibly have an opinion one way or the other about my own personal sins? To question that is nothing less than begging God to strike with his full wrath. It is to challenge his authority. Daddy, you wouldn't really spank me for this, would you? Teacher, you wouldn't really give me a detention for this, would you? Officer, you wouldn't really give me a ticket for this, would you? Government, you wouldn't really imprison me or put me to death for this, would you? Illustrations like this from the fourth commandment only pale in comparison to illustrations from the first commandment. What is so surprising and humbling is that God, the God who punishes and destroys, would also have mercy on me, a sinner. Luther summarized the Ten Commandments with words from Exodus 20. These words are really attached to the first commandment in the text of Exodus, but they serve as a perfect answer to this important question. What does God say about all these commandments? Well, he says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. What does this mean? God threatens to punish all who transgress these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his anger and not disobey what he commands. But he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should love and trust in him and gladly obey what he commands. Now, it is not our obedience that justifies us in God's sight. Luther was writing to Christians, especially Christian families teaching their own children about what Jesus has done for us. He wasn't writing a handbook on how to get to heaven for unbelievers. For believer and unbeliever alike, the message is the same, summarized by our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's Mark 16:16. Therefore, put your trust in our Lord Jesus and follow wherever he leads. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.